Okay, we started the audio. Now I'm going to start the video. There they and there goes the video. We are, and let me put up the study. And we're here again on the Sabbath. I thank God we could be here. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Very good. Now, we've had guests for going on 2 months. Well, I heard we got some guests coming today, too, but I don't see them yet. But maybe they'll be coming around the mountain. Okay, let's make sure we get that off. Let me get up here. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We just blew the trumpet, and I was just saying we've had guests for the last 2 months. Maybe we're supposed to get some guests today, too. So, we'll wait for them. We'll be here. But anyway, I thank God we could be here today. We are One of Messiah congregation. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God, the Kahalcha B'Mashiach. And we're going to pray and ask God to bless and anoint today's study. So let's just call upon the Father who's in the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we do believe you hear us today and you're watching us and you see us, Lord and God. I know we're just down here trying our best to serve you with everything we have. Forgive us any sin, any shortcomings, any kind of frailties that we go through, anything that's not of you, Father. Strengthen us. Be with us. Help us in every direction, every decision. Lead, guide, and show us what you want us to do, Father. Bless this Sabbath. I pray you'll send down this total healing upon everyone's bodies today, physically and spiritually. Lord and God, help us in every endeavor. Bless the study today. Bless the conversations, the readings, anything we do, the conversations. And give us new understanding. Help us, Father, with everything. We always call upon our Father because we're your children, knowing that you do see us, Father, and we do believe you by faith. We are here. We pray your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of us today, Lord and God. Bless and anoint everyone today here that's on Pow Talk and anyone that would hear these studies in the future from the server. And we pray always that you'll protect our little servers back there. We know they're very frail, just a little machinery that could conk out any time. But we know, we pray that you'll watch them. Heavenly Father, bless this day, and we thank you for the joy you give us and the happiness and the peace in Messiah, and we give you the glory, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. It's really nice to be here today, and I'm very happy we're getting a little sprinkle of rain. We need a little more. Yeah, we need rain here, and it's nice to see the rain. Today is August 9th, 2014, and as you guys know already, we're still using Augustus Caesar's name for this month, and that's where August comes from, because it comes from Augustus. You see that? Last month was a different guy, Julius Caesar, because it was July. I know, it sounds strange, but God has his own calendar. We're in the fifth month of God, which has no name according to Scripture, and it's the 12th day. Judaism, for some reason, likes to call this month Av, which is not a good thing, because that name is a Babylonian in origin, and it only appears in the Talmud around the 3rd century. The name is not in the Scriptures. The name Av, like many other names of the months in the Jewish religious calendar, come from the Jews that returned from the land of Israel from their exile in Babylon. And then it's not biblical, you know, they're just names people gave them. Anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry. Just by the few things I just told you, the average person doesn't even know that. I know we take it for granted, but the average person doesn't know that. But this ministry, like teaching, and I really appreciate when I hear you guys say the same things. We all speak the same thing in our congregation when you explain things. It's really refreshing to see that people do that. That means you're listening, and it's being written into the tables of your heart, you know, because it is the Word of God. I like to undelete some of these things that have been deleted in the world. I'm sure there's many other topics maybe God will reveal to us that we could discuss. Obviously, my studies are always available for you in text form, in audio form, in video form. I've taken all the passwords off, so it's free again to everyone. And I'm happy. So I get emails from people during the week, and they just really like the, you know, studies. They like, I think most of them like the videos, because I think everyone likes to sit back and, you know, with their refreshment and just watch or listen. And maybe they take notes, I hope. But the most important thing, I hope you do them. Of course, we're on PowTalk right now. We're streaming live with that Real Player. If you download Real Player, you could put that in your in the site there in Real Player, and you'll actually see me live. We're in the Christian section. Of course, also I'd like to also I would love to come to give a talk at your congregation or your group or your meetings and all this kind of stuff. And I'd like to go over the Hebrew roots from the scriptures, not from Judaism, the Hebrew roots of your faith, and make you understand some different things. You know, this last week, I remember there was some rallies in Tennessee at the down by the Capitol, you know, the downtown, about standing for Israel and all this kind of stuff. We stand for Israel, but the only thing we are upset about Israel is that they keep giving away God's land. So we see what the Bible says. When you give away God's land and you allow your enemies to live side by side with you, eventually there'll be thorns in your side, pricks in your side. You'll be pricked with it. You'll be affected. You'll be snared. And some of them, and this has happened over the years. And then Israel wants to know, why are they always in battle? Why are they always fighting? Well, you give away God's land and God tells you this is going to occur. So it's a strange thing, you know. But anyway, another thing we were talking about this morning, my wife and I were talking about, which goes along with this study today. I'm going to be doing a review, how we need to restore God's feasts and Sabbaths. And I thought we'd go over a lot of the feast information and Sabbath. And I wish the guests were here, because I'm pretty sure they need to hear it too. But we were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, and you know, how we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to try, you know, as time progresses here, we're going to try to put up a tent, you know, and put up our own sukkah at the property, which would be nice. I know this is a little early in the season, but I was counting the days. You know, believe it or not, it's only 48 days from now when the memorial of blowing the trumpets is. So I thought it was wise to go over the Sabbaths and the fall feast and the holy days of God. For your information, this is what we determined at this moment in time. Of course, we have to wait to see the new moon in Israel. But these are the dates for fall. And remember, they all start in the evening before. And because they all start the evening before, we see three times we're going to have two Sabbaths in a row. I know. Wow. A lot of people are not used to that. Two Sabbaths in a row. Three times. And there's four extra Sabbaths in the fall feast and holy days. There's only one feast, of course, Feast of Tabernacles. But there's the memorial blowing the trumpets. There's the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. And those are the dates that we could determine at the moment. Okay? They might change, but we're pretty sure that's it. So, having said that, I thought I'd go over, where do God's feast, where do they come from? Well, we see in Leviticus 23, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. God says, even these are my feasts. It always amazes me when I read that, because I read the Bible for 17 years before I even did this, and I never seen that, that God has his own feasts. And that shows you that church doctrines blind the Bible. Because you get so caught up in things they want you to do and crazy events and parties. And I was telling my wife this morning, we were passing by a church and they have dance class. And I was thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Dance class? I said, these churches around here, their signs are party, dance class, love, I don't know, words like that. But they don't have words like, let's study, let's keep the commandments, requirements of God. And they don't have anything like that. They only have love, joy, peace, dance class, smiling, kids, jelly beans, you know, like, huh? Yeah, that one congregation. Yeah, that's all they talk about. And but we're talking about God's feasts and holy convocations and His Sabbaths. And you notice how in Leviticus, I mean, this is just the third verse. He goes right into the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. You should do no work therein. And this is the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. And that seems to be, I even heard last night from a person that this one person still isn't coming because they didn't separate their dwelling from other people that are not keeping the Sabbath. So in other words, they're breaking the Sabbath every week. Myself personally, I mean, you know, after a certain time in life, I would say after you're in your middle 20s or late 20s or early 30s, or if you don't have your own place, there's something a little weird about that. You know, you should be out there, you know, trying to get your life together and at least trying to give it a try, try to go get rent, you know, get an apartment and get your own life. And so you can keep the feast, right? If you're a Sabbath keeper, that is. But, you know, some people just in their 30s just don't have enough in it to go live by themselves, and they still can't get out there and do it. It's terrible. Anyway, these are the feasts. So these are the feasts of Jehovah, holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. And I was thinking about that this morning. We do it in God's season, not when we just feel like it, or any day of the week, or pick a day, or whenever it's convenient for someone. But we notice a lot of messianics, they do that. You know, the Sabbath is any day, pick a day, at least one day out of the week, or they do the holy days of God anytime they feel like it at people's convenience. But God says you're supposed to proclaim them in their season, which is really important. So Scripture says Ha'etanim is the name of the seventh month, which is very simple to find. And this is what we're reviewing today. I'm having a nice review. You go to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, and you see there it says that all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ha'etanim, which is the seventh month. So beware of Judaism and some messianics that say Tishrei. And people are still saying that even today. That word Tishrei is not mentioned one time in Tanakh. It says it's the seventh month. It's not New Year like Judaism says. It's not when the world was created or Adam's birthday or whatever else they can make up. No one would know any of that, you know. It's just simply the seventh month, Ha'etanim, 1 Kings 8:2, and we start seeing there's a feast in that month, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And these, you might say, well, why are we doing this? It happened already. What are they doing it for? Well, you'd have to go ask Paul and the other apostles, because they kept the feast too. But it does say they're a shadow of things to come. And that is, if you know your grammar, it's future tense. If you know your tenses, it's a shadow of things to come. It's not a shadow of things that are past, right? The feast and holy days of Jehovah are all about the Messiah. And that's really important. We're talking about the second coming of Messiah in the seventh month. So in Psalms it says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. And we're going to do that. And we do it every day, every Sabbath. So we see this Ha'etanim, one, it's the new moon, it's a Sabbath, and it's a holy day. And it's not a feast. It's Zichrom Yom Teruah. It's a memorial of blowing the trumpets. And, of course, we explain what trumpets and why and what that's all about. How does that pertain to us? So we see a shadow of things to come. And we do everything in memorial. It's an ordinance. It's a Sabbath. It's a feast. It's a shadow of Messiah's second coming in the seventh month. That's really important to remember. And that's what the feasts are all about. The spring feasts tell you about the first coming. The fall feasts tell you about the second coming. And we got a little video there you can click on about Colossians 2:16, because a lot of the Christians like to throw that at you they don't know how to discern the scripture, the letter Paul wrote to the Colossians when he's warning these Colossians. And he says, let no man judge you in meat, drink, or respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath, or of the Sabbath days, which are shadows, which are a shadow of things to come. He says, and that shadow, obviously, that but is like, but the body is of Messiah. That shadow is from this body. It's all about the Messiah. So if you look up some of these words in the Greek, you know, you see the word judge. Let no man judge you. Don't, in other words, don't let anyone try to condemn what you're doing or to separate you from the things of God or to put asunder or to pick out or to cast an opinion on or to pronounce, you know, as evil or wrong or contend with you or dispute with you. This word judge is krino, you know. So we let no people do that because we're taking the caution too of Apostle Paul, just like he cautioned the Colossians. We're also looked up the word holy day, which means, you know, a holy day is a feast. It could be a feast. It could be just it's a festival of God, something that we do all the time. And, of course, the new moon is the new moon. And, of course, when it says, don't let anyone judge you in meat, that means food you eat, because God already told us what to eat and what not to eat. He never said certain things are food, even though the world has made them delicacies and things you're not supposed to eat. Okay? And then, of course, the Sabbath days. Notice how that's in plural, because there are weekly Sabbaths, obviously, and then there's also other Sabbaths in the holy days of God. And that's it right there. And a shadow, you know what a shadow is, right? It's an image cast by an object and representing the form of that object. You know, a sketch, an outline. You know what a shadow is, right? Everybody knows what that is. So, the Sabbath seems to be this big deal to certain people, but to us it's very simple. Exodus 20, we read last night. It's the fourth commandment of the living God. It says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I mean, is that complicated? Simple, isn't it? And then 6 days you're supposed to labor and do all your work. All your work. 7th day is the Sabbath of Jehovah, your God. In it, you're not supposed to do any work. You, your son, your daughter. And God names a few different people here, your siblings and different things, or your mates, your daughter, your husband. I could say your husband, your wife, your uncle. You could add anyone in there. Your maid servant, your men servant, even the animals are supposed to rest. Even the stranger that's within your gates. So anyone that resides within your gates is supposed to keep the Sabbath. Yeah. So a lot of people go, well, it doesn't say uncle or aunt. It doesn't say husband. Well, of course, I mean, God could have wrote all those words in there, you know. And then some people go, well, it doesn't say other animals. Well, come on. You got to, you know. But anyway, in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the 7th day, wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's amazing. To me, when I look at that one little sentence, my mind just, there's so much science in that right there. You know, so many things to discuss, but we're not going to do that at the moment. But it's exciting, that verse. And then, of course, we go to Deuteronomy 5, which I read last night, right? Same thing, fourth commandment. And this is after the 40 years they were told to, the same information. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as Jehovah thy God had commanded you. 6 days you got to labor and do all your work. 7th day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. In it you're not supposed to do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your men servant, your maid servant, your ox or ass or anything, or your cattle, or the stranger that's within your gates, that thy manservant, thy maidservant may rest as well as you. Right. So it's a day of cessation from the typical days of the week. You know, you're not going to be doing any work, any kind of work, and I'll explain what kind. It says, and remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Jehovah thy God brought you out thence with a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm. Therefore, Jehovah thy God commands you he commands you to keep the Sabbath day. It's a fourth commandment. And as we've heard over the years, some people, they all know, it's not an opinion, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. It's a fourth commandment. I've been trying to let people use that those words instead of saying the Sabbath, even though it's the Sabbath, of course. But I'd rather people say to the regular people out there, it's the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments. Because that might ring a bell in their brain that there's Ten Commandments and it's the fourth commandment? So what happened to the fourth commandment? Let's question that. And, you know, to a person that's puts curiosity in them or some thought, they might go look it up. What happened to the fourth commandment? There's ten. 6 days you're supposed to do all your work. I mean, it couldn't be any simpler than that. And, of course, like one of the sisters said last night, and I always say, you know, from all the calendars that we did get a chance to look at, we see the amount of the days of the year might have varied because of different dictators or people that were in charge for different agendas that they were prescribing to their regime, I'd say. But the days of the week never changed. You can look back even to the time of Yeshua. The Sabbath is still the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. Now, I know some websites say, oh, you pick any day, pick Tuesday or Monday. I had a guy say to me last week, you know, I do my Sabbath on Sunday. And I said, that is correct. You're doing your Sabbath on Sunday. We do God's Sabbath, which is the seventh day. That's the way to answer that, okay? When somebody says, I do my Sabbath on Tuesday, say, oh, yeah, that's correct, and smile. And just say, I just do God's Sabbaths on the seventh day. So this way, there's no argument. They just look at you like, God's Sabbath, your Sabbath. Let's see. Yeah, think that over. And this is in all your dwellings, which seems to be, we use the term, it's the breaker, that makes people not want to even show up at our congregation. Because when they don't have a dwelling place that's holy. And they don't have a dwelling place that's everyone's keeping the Sabbath. And then they get mad at me. Did I write any of these scriptures? No, I didn't. Anyway, back to the Sabbath. So what else do we have to do or not do? It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on God's holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight. It's the holy of Jehovah, honorable, and you honor him. How? By not doing your own ways, by not finding your own pleasure, and by not speaking your own words. We're not going to have extensive conversations today on anything that's not of God, you know. It says, then shalt you delight yourself in Jehovah, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Who said that? No, it's the mouth of Jehovah had spoken it. It's in Isaiah, but who said it? Right. Yeah, B. Now, some people might go, well, now this guy, you guys are just like the Sabbath police. Yeah, we are. Yes, amen to that. We're the Sabbath police. We want you to do it right. Otherwise, you're under the law, and the law is crushing you, and you get the repercussions and your penalty. So we're trying to save you from getting punished. So what? Now, a little grandma doing her yard sale today, minding her business with her little grandkids over there. What's so bad about that? I mean, come on, leave them alone. Well, they didn't read Nehemiah 13 because this man of God was very upset with these children of Judah buying all this stuff from the men of Tyre, which are a bunch of weasels in plain English. And he contended with them. He got righteous indignation. He didn't just, Mickey Mouse around. He went up and told them, what evil thing is this that you do, profane the Sabbath day? And that's Nehemiah 13. So if you get a chance, read Nehemiah 13, verse 15 to the end, and you'll get a whole new perspective on buying and selling on the Sabbath. Again, I didn't write this book. I remember one time I was reading Nehemiah and Ezra on Pal Talk, and it was talking about when they had these people, they were in captivity, and they went and married strange wives. and these people had to get rid of their strange wives and that didn't repent, that is, and also their kids that didn't repent because of their mothers, you know. And people were trying to say, I was trying to get people to get divorced. I said, wait, I didn't write this. Yeah. Then they went further than that. They said, Ezra and Nehemiah, they did stuff that wasn't of God. And I said, then I had to just close the pow talk room because I thought, these people are out of it. First they picked on me, then they actually went to pick on Ezra and Nehemiah, who are not around to defend themselves, when they were just following God. I said, how could you say that about Ezra and Nehemiah? You wish you could be even a touch of what they were in the eyes of God. But anyway, this fourth commandment, boy, it's such a, some people, it's such a hassle. I mean, it starts in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, to verse 4, I guess. But it's not Jewish, it's a commandment. This holy convocations is about 19 times in the Bible, and Sabbath is 171 times, which is, I don't know, that's in the entire Bible. 111 matches in Tanakh. And then a lot of these so-called pseudo-Christians, they don't notice in the Gospels and letters, it's 60 times. 60 times the word Sabbath. How do they miss it? I know how. Doctrine blinds the eyes, blinds the mind. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He just blocks everything from them. And they just think they're so kind and so sweet, and they're just the most, they're doing so much for God. Anyway, we have three feasts, not seven, and holy days, not holidays. And some of these days have Sabbaths in some of them. There's Sabbaths in some of them. Okay? So there are some Sabbaths in the holy days and feast, right?
There are.
Yes. Now we're going to do a little vocabulary lesson, which I've done so many times. So we have a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. There's the word Shabbat, and there's the word Shabbaton, which means rest, which means Sabbath. There's the word holy convocation, which is the Mikra Kodesh. It's a little bit of Hebrew class today. There's the word holy, Kodesh, which means set apart to God, separateness to God, sacredness, holiness to the God of Israel. Here's this convocation, which is a mikra, something called out, that is a public meeting. That's why we're actually physically here today. You know, if you know of a congregation that's keeping the Sabbath, you need to get up, get dressed, and come on and join us. But if you just don't do that, then you're breaking the Sabbath too, because you're just too lazy to get up and come on. Matter of fact,
one that keeps it right.
Yeah, one that keeps it right, correct. No, I'm starting to get that feeling of, we used to get all these calls of people coming, that they call us and tell that they're coming and they're so happy and they don't show up. Hope I'm getting that feeling that's happening today. Is that happening today? I hope it doesn't. I hope they do show up. They're only 32 minutes late right now. Anyway, there's the servel work. It's a melechet avodah in Hebrew, and that means no work, no domestic work, or no public work in plain English. Okay, and you only could be in the public or domestic, right? You can't be unless you're in outer space. But I mean, no work, even if you're in outer space. Everybody on the space station today should stop. I don't think they're going to listen to me, but anyway. And this is the one that really gets everyone, or gets a lot of people, I should say. This moshav, you know, this seat, this assembly, this dwelling place, or even at the location at the time of your dwelling, wherever you dwell. So you can go, well, that's not my dwelling. Well, it's at the time of your dwelling, wherever you're dwelling on the Sabbath. You need to make preparation wherever you're going, who you're going to visit, where you're going. Wherever you're going to travel to, that you're going to be able to keep the Sabbath. Right. This is called preparation. Here's the word Hag and Hagag, which is the feast. And it's something that properly goes around in the circle. Obviously, as the Lord tarries, we do them every year, right? It's a holy day, and it's something that we acknowledge. It's and a lot of these we do in memorial, of course. Some we don't. And there's the word memorial, zachar, and a zicharon in Hebrew. So it is a record. There's a record. That's what I've been talking about for the few weeks. We all need to make some type of record of who we are and what we're doing. And we're making a memorial. Well, that's what you should be thinking, making a memorial of who you are and what you believe and what you do and how you changed and who you've become. Just like we remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. And we're going to do a memorial of blowing the trumpets, right? And there's the word hakak, which is an ordinance. It's a custom, you know, that means according to Torah, not a custom that you just do if you feel like. It's an enactment. It's something prescribed by the Bible, by God. A hak, same thing, or hok. It's an enactment, okay? So these are things that we take serious, and we try to do as much as we can, as much as we know, you know? So we have the seventh month has four extra Sabbaths. Isn't that amazing? Right now we're in the fifth month, so it's coming soon. The seventh month is Ha'etanim, not Tishrei. It's a memorial blowing the trumpets. It's a Zichron Teruah. There it is in Hebrew. It's the first day, Yom Rishon. And we say, and of course, you have to look this up. This is all Leviticus 23. We speak unto the children of Israel, the Be'el B'nei Yisrael, Lamor, we're going to say unto them, okay, B'chodesh HaShevi'i Be'achad L'chodesh. We're going to say in the first month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath. It says, Yehyeh Lechem Shabbaton. You should have a Sabbath, a day of rest, a memorial of blowing the trumpets. It's a Zichron Teruah. Mikra Kodesh. So whether you can read Hebrew or if you read the English, it says it right there, right? There it is. So this is it's the seventh month. It's not any month. It's not New Year because it's the seventh month. And it's going towards the end of the year, like it says in the Bible. It's going towards the end of the year. It's not the beginning of the year. And we see it's also a Sabbath. We see it's a memorial, and we see it's blowing the trumpets. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's not the head of the year, right? I mean, I don't understand how I say these people that some of them are geniuses, you know, top physicians, top physicists, top neurosurgeons, and they still can't read this because they're rabbis, tell them it doesn't say that. Can you figure that out? I mean, they can read all these these texts and amazing manuscripts, and they can't read this simple, it's the seventh month, it's a memorial. It's not a feast. It's something we're supposed to be remembering because there's a possibility it's going to happen again in someone's lifetime. This trumpet's going to blast and sound, right? Yeah. That's the first Sabbath, right? It says, and you should do no civil work therein. It shall be an offering. Of course, they made an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, right? There's that Melechet Avodah right there. Lo ta'asu. That means you're not supposed to do it. Okay? And then we have the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days later, right? And that's Yom Kippurim, HaKippurim, right? Kippur. And it says also on the 10th day of the seventh month. So when are you going to do the Day of Atonement? Any day you feel like it? I'm doing it the 10th day of the seventh month. It's a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your souls. It's an offering made by fire. It says an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And there it is in Hebrew. I can read that to you too. It's the same thing. It says, and you shall do no work. In the same day, it's a day of atonement. I mean, I don't know how you could be working when you're supposed to be scrutinizing, examining, and cross-examining your soul because the trumpet just blasted, and you know the Lord's about to come back, and you're trying to repent your brains out, and I don't know how you would have time to go to work if you take this in the right thought, You understand that? I mean, if you're really trying to cry out to God because you know your life is going to end any moment and God is coming back and you're going to, there's eternity at hand, would you be thinking about working?
No.
Not the average person, or the average, I should say the average Torah person, Torah observant person, right? It's just amazing to me. It says, V'cha melechet avada lo ta'asu, be'etzem hayom hazeh, ki yom ha-kippurim. Yeah, it's a day of atonement. For whatsoever soul be in that day shall be that's not afflicted. In other words, if you're not observing this as a day that you better make sure that you're ready to meet God, you're obviously going to be cut off because you didn't examine yourself thoroughly and maybe there was a spot or wrinkle on you and you didn't repent. Right? Don't you remember the Lord's coming back for a what? The ecclesia, the set-apart ones without spot or blemish, right? And we believe this is what the day, you know? And that's really, really, really amazing. So whatsoever soul in that day that does any work, I don't know how you would have time to do that, that soul will I destroy from among the people. Obviously. I mean, in someone's lifetime, when the trumpet sounds and you better be atoned, and then you're not atoned, you will be destroyed eternally. That's the problem. And it's an everlasting kind of thing. No manner of work, it shall be a statute when? Forever. See that right there? It says, Chukak, Chukak Olam, Ledorotechem, in all your generations. It says, Bechol Mishvotechem, in all your dwellings. Wow. So, whether you read it again in Hebrew or English, I mean, it doesn't sound any holier in Hebrew. Because I mean, some people think reading Hebrew is like the thing to do. It's nice to read Hebrew, but it's written in English, too, for you to read. It says the same thing. It says, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. It says right there, Shabbaton hu lechem. It says, and ye shall afflict your souls. And that word it says, ve'initiem, itan is afflict. It's not fast. It's not zoom, you know. So Judaism tries to, you know, trick everybody because they don't have any sacrifice. So they want everyone to fast and have good deeds. Believe me, if you try to have fast and have good deeds at the Day of Atonement, at the time of Moses, you'd be, you better have a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And this is all going to happen, like I always tell you, in the evening before, right? From even to even, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. When do we start our Sabbath? Yesterday evening. Friday evening. Right? So some people go, well, I'm going to do mine starting this morning. Well, you can't. Again, it's your, when you're using the right words, but it's your thoughts, your reasoning. We use God's reasoning for these things. And then, of course, we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is 5 days later. And that's here's a third Sabbath. On the first day, you shall have... So far we had two Sabbaths, this is the third one. These are extra. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. It says, Bayom Harishon Mikra Kodesh, Kal Melechet Avodah Lo Tasu. It says you should do no civil work therein, right? Anyone not understand that? On the first day? This is on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's Hag HaSukkot. We're going to be building our sukkah, which is singular. Sukkot is plural, okay? We're going to be building our sukkah, our little tent. It's going to be nice, too. 7 days. 7 days you're supposed to offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. Wow, 7 days. This is a seven-day feast. So what do you think you're going to be doing for 7 days? We're going to be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the eighth day, we're going to it's going to be a special eighth. This one has an eighth day. We're going to make a holy convocation. an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. It's a solemn assembly. It's a solemn assembly. That's really important. Let's see here. It's atzeret, atzeret heave. Kol melechet avodah lo tasu. Again, it's a solemn assembly, and you're not supposed to do any work. And that's the 22nd day, so that's a Sabbath too. And that's on the 8th day. Yeah, the 7-day feast, but on the 8th day, there's a solemn assembly. And we're going to be, guess where? Assembling together. Why? Because God said so. I mean, we come as children. I mean, the Father says, come. We go, okay, we're his children. We'll just come. We don't try to reason why and try to figure a way out of it and the loophole. And we just show up. So that was my explanation of the 7 Sabbaths, which I only went over, of course, the four of them in the fall. So please go over this study today as many times as you need. This isn't a long study today. How long have I been so far? 45 minutes, not even an hour. Something's wrong with me. No. No, did everybody get this? So remember, these holy days were observed thousands of years later in the Gospels and letters. After Yeshua and all the apostles die, it seems many of God's observances and memorials were deleted. Isn't that sad? If you go through the Gospels and letters, you'll actually see the feasts. You'll actually see Paul talking to the Colossians about the new moon. We don't worship the moon. We just acknowledge it because it's a sign. God says he gave these two lights to us for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And we see with this little crescent on the right side, and we go, ah, it's a new month of God. And it's a shame this is all gone, because all the churches, they know nothing about this. This study today, even though I'm trying to say it in a joyful spirit, if you think about it, almost all these thousands of churches around here, they know nothing about this. Nothing. They just want to dance and sing. So we do these feasts and holy days in memorial the best we understand. So again, here's the feast. There's the dates again, in case you didn't write them down the first time. And I want you to remember, there's 3 times we're going to have 2 Sabbaths in a row. That's great for us. People that enjoy God and love God, we love reading the Bible and studying, and we love being together. And it's a feast. It's a time to be happy. So in short, we're going to hear in someone's lifetime, not today, I don't know about in the next couple of months either. It doesn't seem like in someone's lifetime down the road, the trumpet will sound. You better be atoned if you want a tabernacle throughout eternity with God. And that's the simple way of looking at it. And this hasn't happened yet, because we're all still here, right? And you could say, well, how do you know that's going to happen? Well, I go to the letter of Peter. By that same word that there was a flood, God said there was going to be a flood, and that is provable in archaeology and, you know, scientific ways of looking at it. There was a deluge that covered the whole world. By that same word, there's going to be a fire one day, and you better be ready to hear the trumpet, and you better be ready, and you better be atoned if you want a tabernacle with God, right? In someone's lifetime. And if we're not here for that day, we'll be watching it, right? We all, you know, hope we get to see a lot of these things. So just think, today, September 26th, is only 28 days away. Not too far away, right? 48 days away. What did I say? It's 48 days away. Yeah. So you say to yourself, that doesn't sound like, especially when you get older, 48 days seems like it goes pretty quick, doesn't it? That's only a month and 2 weeks or something. You know, it's like, it's over. So this study, I hope today you get something out of it. And for the people that This might sound in the pow talk room, which some people are new there, maybe they never heard of these things. If you ever have any questions about this, you can always call us. This will be on the website later in video form and audio form. You can hear it again. I'm trying to speak very clear and making it simple. And I don't like to make things complicated and, you know, just I don't like to leave you in confusion. So everybody in our congregation sort of got this, right? You guys got it? How about you? You got a lot of this? Okay. You never, you're new, so you never did the fall feast with us. So you will, and holy days, that'd be nice. And of course, Lord willing, Sister Teresa Yisrael is going to be with us on the feast. That'd be nice. And it'd be nice. And anyone who could show up, be nice. But anyway, I want to say thank you for being here today. And for the people that have any questions, you can, after we pray, and if you have any questions, you are more than welcome to come up. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for opening our minds and hearts to your holy days, your Sabbath, and your feast, Lord and God, knowing that in someone's lifetime, this will occur. Bless and anoint the rest of the Sabbath. Bless the rest of this day, Father, in conversations we have, and dialogue, and the studies, and in the food we eat. Bless it. And the singing we do. Let everything be to the glory of God. And we just thank and praise you we could be here today, Lord and God, on your holy Sabbath, this sacred assembly today, that we did make an effort to get up and show up and come here in fellowship. And it's not arduous to us or strenuous. It's something we delight in, Father. Your Sabbath is a delight. And we just thank God that we could stop everything and just focus on you. Heavenly Father, be with us every day of our life, every day of the week, with leading and guiding and decisions we make and things we say and things we think and actions. And Heavenly Father, let us just be of the same mind of Christ, Messiah. Bless and anoint everyone here. Send down a special blessing upon them today. Send down healing upon our bodies and our souls, Lord and God. I thank you for another Sabbath in Yeshua's name, and thank you for salvation through the blood of the Messiah. Amen. God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm going to stop the video. Well, I'm going to stop there.